Heavenly Father, we ask now that you would speak your word, that we would hear your word, and that it would truly bear fruit in our lives to the honor and glory of your name. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So, a few months ago, I mentioned in a sermon that every service here at Holy Cross and in the Anglican world, we always include praying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's included in every Anglican service in our prayer book because Jesus specifically tells us to pray it. He says, when you pray, say this. And then he gives us the Lord's Prayer. So we can learn from it, we can use it as an example, but we also pray specifically that prayer that he tells us to pray. Well, after that service, one of you very helpfully came up to me and said, that's great and wonderful and all, but there's actually another prayer that Jesus specifically tells us to pray that we don't pray in every one of our services. In our reading from Luke chapter 10 this morning, we hear Jesus tell his followers, tells us to pray that the Lord of the harvest will send out laborers into his harvest. And you'll notice that actually now is included in the prayers in all of our services. But speaking about the harvest, the people of the world who don't know Jesus and have not experienced his salvation, Jesus tells us specifically to pray that God will send out workers to reach them, to go into the harvest. God wants to send out workers to reach the lost, to draw people to himself, and he specifically tells us to pray for that. And so we do. So this morning we're going to look a little bit closer at this prayer that Jesus tells us to pray in Luke chapter 10. So if you'd like to open up in your bulletins, it's page 7, so you can put your eyes on it, or you're always welcome to use the Bible under the seats in front of you. But Luke chapter 10, and it is on page 7 in your bulletin. And we're going to look a little bit more at this prayer that Jesus tells us to pray here in Luke 10. So Luke 10, verse 2. Jesus says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord." So just imagine you're standing on the edge of a farmer's huge field, not a little backyard garden, not even a pretty decent sized plot, but a massive field, or field upon field upon field as far as the eye can see. The harvest is plentiful. But even with modern technology, many workers would be needed, even more when everything is done by hand. And that's the image that Jesus uses to describe the situation of the world. The harvest is plentiful. There are so many people in the world who do not know Jesus and have not experienced his transformation. People are living and dying apart from God, never knowing their purpose, never knowing their creator, and will live and die apart from him. Jesus became one of us and died on the cross and rose victorious from the grave for us. Salvation is available to us only in him. And there are so many people in the world who have never heard, have never understood, and have never turned to him in faith. Hell is real. People will die in their sins and never be with God. The harvest is plentiful. But Jesus says, there aren't even enough laborers to bring all of that in. There aren't enough workers to go out and share the good news of Jesus with the world. There are so many more people who need to come to Jesus than there are those going out to reach them. See, the harvest doesn't last forever. Fruit and vegetables die, fall and die. They aren't available forever. If workers don't go out, the harvest is lost. So God specifically tells us to pray for this, to pray that God will raise up and send out laborers into the harvest, that God will raise up pastors and evangelists and lay leaders filled with the zeal of God to reach the lost, people who will work tirelessly to see others come to know Jesus and experience his salvation, people who share the passion of the preacher Charles Spurgeon, who said this: "If sinners be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our dead bodies And if they perish, let them perish with our arms wrapped about their knees, imploring them to stay. If hell must be filled, let it be filled in the teeth of our exertions, and let not one go unwarned or unprayed for. May we catch that vision. But Jesus tells us to pray for this, that God will raise up laborers like this for the love of the world. Now, this brings us to an incredibly important principle about prayer. This is worth the price of admission. But here's the principle. Often, God waits to act until his people pray. Often, God chooses to wait until we pray. God tells us specifically to pray that he will raise up workers to go out and reach the lost with the good news of Jesus. We are called to pray for this, that God will do it. So you know what? We're going to pray right now. If you're a visitor, we don't do this every week. We do pray. We don't always pray in the way that we're about to. If you don't want to participate, I'm perfectly fine making you a little uncomfortable. That doesn't bother me at all. But if you would prefer not to participate in that, in this, what I'm about to say, that's fine. You can just stay right where you are. That's absolutely fine. But I'm going to ask you and invite you to just kind of where you are, turn to a few people next to you, and I'll tell you what we're going to do. Just sort of form a little group, and I'm actually going to guide you in prayer. You don't have to pray out loud if you're uncomfortable. Again, I actually don't mind making you feel a little uncomfortable. I think that can sometimes be very helpful. But if you don't want to do that, that's fine, okay? But I am going to encourage you to, in your small groups, to pray out loud if you would be willing. And so families, some people that are just near you don't have to know each other, that's fine. But if you could just sort of turn, go ahead now, turn and find a couple people right near you. All right. Very good. And if you'd prefer, as I said, just sit where you are quietly, that's absolutely fine. I would invite you, if that's you, to participate and to pray, even if it's you just quietly by yourself. All right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you, the prayer time will be relatively short, but I'm going to give you two things to pray about. But before I do that, let me give you just two very simple suggestions, kind of ground rules for doing this. One is pray short prayers. If one person prays for a whole minute and you only get 90 seconds, what it's going to feel like is, well, that person said everything there is to say. So pray short prayers. And if this is kind of a new thing for you and you're still not really sure about what we're about to do, praying a really short prayer might be perfect for you to just try something very short and very simple, and that's great. So one is pray short prayer. The other is give it a shot and pray out loud. By doing that, it gives the people in your group a chance to pray with you, all right? So we're going to do about a minute or two, but this first thing I'm going to ask you to pray for is take a minute to do this, and this is, because there really are people who are dying without salvation in Jesus. The beginning of this is that we would ask, would you pray, that God will begin to work in our hearts so that we would care deeply about that reality, that we would care deeply about those who are living and dying apart from Jesus, that God would work in our hearts. So we're going to have a little bit of music playing just so it's not silent, but I'm going to invite you for the next minute and a half, would you pray in your groups that God would work in our hearts about that. Go ahead. stay in your groups, but I'm going to give you just a slightly different thing to be praying for. We were praying that God would work in our hearts, and now we're just going to quite simply pray what Jesus tells us, that God would raise up and call people to reach those people, that God would fill these people with the Holy Spirit and power to do his work, to go out, that many would be saved. But would you pray specifically that God would raise up and send out people to reach the lost? Would you do that in your groups? All right, I'm going to kind of regather us. You probably want to stay where you are because, you know, we might do this again. You might want to have a seat, but don't move yourself back to your seats. Just have a seat where you are, even if it's on the floor, Donna. Jesus says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord." Pray. Now, if you were following along, you may have noticed that I actually skipped a word up until now. He actually says, pray earnestly. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few, therefore pray earnestly to the Lord. Pray earnestly, pray repeatedly, pour your heart out. See, God is good, so it's not like he's hesitant and we have to convince him to save people and reach people, but he often waits to act until we pray. This reminds me of a parable that Jesus tells a few chapters later in the book of Luke, and it's really helpful because it actually begins, the parable begins telling us what it's about. But Jesus says this in a few chapters. "And Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, 'In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him saying, "Give me justice against my adversary." For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, "Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not come beat me down by her continual coming." So if an unrighteous judge in the story will grant her request just to make her shut up and go away, how much more will our loving Heavenly Father answer our good prayers? Not to make us go away, but because he loves us and wants to include us in his work in the world. Pray earnestly. So you probably could tell where we were going with this. We're going to pray again. The medium is the message. This is not a one-time thing, but we're supposed to continue to pray about this. So I'm going to invite you to turn back to your groups, and I have two slightly different but related things to ask you to pray for. So the first one is this. Now, this is not just about clergy, about pastors. God calls all Christians to be a part of reaching the lost. But would you specifically, for the next minute or so, would you specifically pray for our clergy in this congregation and elsewhere, that we would be filled with the Spirit and power of God to reach the lost? So would you specifically pray for us for the next minute or so? So would you turn back to your groups and let's pray. last one, would you make this personal? Would you pray that God would use you and us to share his truth and goodness with others? He tells us to pray that he will raise up laborers, and would you pray that he would use us to do that? Would you pray? Wrap up. All right. If you could move back to your seats. But see, there's one other piece of this that we need to see. Verse 2, Jesus said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And the next word, go. And he sends them out to do it. The same people he just told to pray. Did you catch that? He tells them to pray, and then in the same breath tells us, to go be part of the answer to our own prayer. Pray that God will send out laborers and go your way and do it. And they go out and they evangelize and they come back so excited. Verse 17, they return exclaiming, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." Jesus tells them to pray, and then he actually uses them to answer their own prayer, and they get to be a part of God's work in the world. But the only way that they would ever get to experience that is by going out and running into demons. You know that, right? They had to pray and go in order to see the power of God. I want to tell you about an experience that I had about 3 weeks ago. I share this because it's just a recent example, but I share this because I truly believe this is the kind of going that all of us can do. Okay? So I like to play golf. You don't have to play golf. This is just where it happened for me. So I was playing golf, and I finished the first hole, and the man in front of me offered to let me play through, let me go ahead of him because he could tell I was playing a bit faster than he was. I played that first hole well, by the way. And he didn't want to hold me up. So I hit my shot, and as I was passing him in my cart and just sort of, you know, slowing down to say thank you for letting me play through as I drove past, as I was heading past him, he suddenly said, "Yeah, I've been through a lot lately, and I'm just out here having some golf therapy." I'll admit, that didn't really slow me down. I was ready to keep going. But he continued before I could drive away, and he said, "My sister just died," and he opened his mouth, and he said, "and my teeth are falling out." I stopped, and I listened, and after he listed a few more major issues that he's having, I looked at him, and I said, "I'm a priest. Can I pray for you?" And if I weren't a priest, I simply just would have said, "I'm a Christian. Can I pray for you?" And he looked back at me and he said, "Oh, I'm not religious." And I said, "That's okay. I am." And so I prayed for him for a minute, right there on the second tee of the golf course in Loganville. And after praying, he said to me, and I quote, "Maybe God sent you to me. Would you like to play the rest of this round with me?" Okay. I'm an idiot, and sometimes I'm clueless. But even I knew the right answer to that one. And so I spent the rest of the round listening to this man who, with respect, kind of was the kind of personality, probably didn't have a lot of people in his life that were willing to sit there and listen to him, and telling him about Jesus. And he was not ready to come with me to church or change everything about his life. But he did say that he really did have some things he needed to think through and think about. And not just the fact that he almost hit me and he gets to tell his friends that he almost killed a priest. But I continue to pray for Ken, was his name. He is part of the harvest of loved and lost souls that God wants us to reach with the good news of Jesus. Jesus tells us to pray that God will send out laborers to reach the lost, to reach people who are not saved by Jesus, who are living and dying apart from God. And then he immediately tells us, the very people who are supposed to pray this, he immediately tells us to go and be part of that prayer, part of the answer to our own prayer. See, friends, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, let each one of us pray earnestly to the Lord. Pray and never give up. Pray again and again and again, and then pray again. Let us pray earnestly to the Lord to raise up and send out workers, pastors and evangelists and lay leaders to share the gospel and reach lost people, people who are near to us but far from Jesus. And let us be willing to go to the ends of the earth, go to our next door neighbor, go to the hurting man on the golf course. And let us begin by truly hearing Jesus' call to us to pray, and pray earnestly. Jesus says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest."
Amen.
Amen.